Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, come on. Fields, he's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. I'm Paul Dottino along with Howard Cross. Glad you could join us for today's edition of the program. We're here Monday to Friday from noon Eastern Time until 1 to take all of your questions and comments and, of course, Twitter remarks about Big Blue, the New York Football Giants. Today, they continue their preparations to take on the undefeated Carolina Panthers, who are 13-0. Game time, 1 o'clock Sunday at MetLife Stadium here in the Meadowlands. It is a rainy day, Howard. You know what that means? Coach is taking the guys inside to the field house.
Nice. It's good to have a field house. I remember when I first started, no field house.
No.
Just practice.
And then Dan got the Dan Dome.
The Dan Dome, yes. The bubble. The famous bubble. That was a lot of fun, too.
In any event, the Giants, once again, updating the injury situation with Coach Coughlin just before we were able to come into the show. Marcus Kuhn with his knee injury is day-to-day. George Selby still in concussion protocol. Eric Flowers continues to fight his way through practice, even though they expected to rest him. He just won't rest. This kid is a gamer, Howard.
It's like the good old days when they told you you couldn't make the club in the tub. He's kind of playing under those circumstances. He's doing a good job, too. I mean, he played until he just couldn't, beat the inside move at the end of the night. So he played almost the entire game. I'm impressed with him.
If he's able to go on Sunday, which it does look like he will based on experience with him in the past, it would be Jared Allen, the longtime veteran who lines up at the right defensive end spot for Carolina.
Well, Jared Allen will be studying tape. He'll know to try to go for the inside move early to get him weak on that ankle. But it'll be interesting to see what goes on.
Devon Kennard still out with a boot on his foot. Got a sore foot and a sore hamstring. Coach Coughlin said he would not be practicing at all this week, so you can rule him out for this weekend's game as well. And again, if I didn't say it, Marcus Kuhn week to week. That means the addition yesterday, which he came in but actually signed today, of Barry Cofield becomes an interesting part of this defensive tackle mix. Coach Coughlin said, look, he knows the system. He was here in Super Bowl 42 under Spags.
Yeah.
He understands what Spags wants to do. He rehabbed from off-season hip surgery, and that was a little slow going, which is why nobody had signed him earlier in the year. He was still trying to come back from the surgery.
Yeah.
He is now healthy. At least that's what the Giants doctor said. They worked him out. Coach said he worked out extremely well, looks healthy, looks well, and so he believes that he will be able to help with the run defense.
Wow, that's going to be impressive. A pair of fresh legs in the middle. That might be what the Giants needed. You have no idea what it's like to have pressure up the middle when a guy's got fresh legs. That can be impressive.
So it remains to be seen, with only just a couple of days to prepare, how many snaps Cofield will get on Sunday. Again, with Selby on concussion protocol, he's ineligible to do anything. Can't even practice right now because the league puts him on the shelf. So the Giants are down off defensive linemen. We know, again, Kuhn's out. That Ayers has been fighting a neck injury, but he fought through it to play some last week. Mm-hmm. So they're in a situation where all hands on deck, and if Cofield can give them some snaps, Coach is going to give him a jersey.
He's going to give him a lot of snaps, whether he wants to or not. Hopefully he's been running a lot because he's about to find out how well his hip and his conditioning are doing.
Our phone number is 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. We're here until the top of the hour to talk Giants football. Let's get quickly to some of your Twitter comments. By the way, he is at Howard Cross 87, and I am at Giants WFAN if you'd like to hit us up there. Quick check of the Twitter remarks. Beat Cam Newton says, Marcus Kuhn, not a good matchup against Cam Newton anyway. So I guess he's really happy to have Barry Cofield in the lineup.
That's not nice. I don't think there's anybody in the league that's a good matchup.
I was just going to say, who is?
I mean, if there's somebody out there, even J.J. Watt, who's extraordinary with speed and everything, Cam Newton gets by a lot of guys.
Yeah, indeed he does. Let's see here. Any other comments? Saying Barry Cofield's a Giant again, whoop-de-doo, not necessarily thinking he's going to be able to play many snaps. And, again, we don't know how many exactly he's going to get. Excuse me. I think the interesting part, Howard, what do you think is going to be the hardest part for Cofield? Will it be the conditioning and how many snaps he gets because he's going to be gassed or winded? Or do you think it's going to be because he's going to be slow again picking up the system, being that he's been with the Redskins for a number of years and he has been away from the Giants?
No, I don't think that's part of it. I think, you know, when you're picking up offensive plays, you have to understand schemes. Overs, unders, four-man front, three-man fronts, they slide you into position and you go. I mean, it's not this overly crazy thing. The hardest thing is going to be for him is going to be the conditioning. Game speed, to exert yourself that much in short bursts, it's kind of like lifting weights and almost maxing out almost every time that you put your hands on the weight or put the weight on your neck. You're going as heavy as you can, and then you take a break. But then you're expected to go heavy again and take a break. It's, conditioning. Conditioning is going to be tough.
All right. There is a key injury we should address about the Panthers. It came out yesterday afternoon, long after this show was over for yesterday's edition, when David Deal and Anita Marks did it. That is, Coach Ron Rivera said that Jonathan Stewart will not play Sunday against the Giants. This is a guy who's got nearly 1,000 yards rushing so far this year, second in the NFL in carries, third in the NFL in rushing yards. He has absolutely been a workhorse for them. You know, you talk about some teams that do have a bell cow, a guy who is the main part of their rushing attack, because everyone's going with multiple runners nowadays, Howard. But there are a few that really go to that one guy. Yep. Stewart's been that guy for Carolina.
He's done a great job. He's been, you know, with Cam Newton, in conjunction with Cam Newton, is a hard combination to beat. He's very, you know, built a certain way where he's low to the ground, great balance, can take a lot of hits, can take the pounding. I think they're just giving him a break, giving him a couple weeks because they're going to need him into the playoffs.
His foot is in a boot as far as Stewart is concerned. That means Fozzie Whitaker, who's a third-year pro, very little used since he's been in the NFL,
fresh
was with
legs.
Browns, cup of coffee,
yep.
Right? And also Mike Tolbert, who's been around this league for a decade. You'll remember about 8 years ago, he gained over 700 yards as the featured back for the Chargers. He's a fullback, low balling ball kind of guy, but again, has rarely carried the ball the last few years.
Well, you know, that, again, all that doesn't matter. If you get your chance, you get your opportunity, these guys are going to come in. Look at Seattle when they lost Marshawn Lynch. A lot of backs that people really hadn't heard of was wondering if these guys can play or not, and all of a sudden they look good. So Le'Veon Bell leaves the Steelers. All of a sudden a back is rejuvenated. He gets a chance in the league again. You never know, so you have to be prepared for whoever's back there.
Let me ask you this, Howard. I'm going to ask you to be Cam Newton for just a minute. And he's a big guy, not quite as big as you, but he's a big guy. But can you be Cam Newton for just a minute?
He's an awkward guy.
You know your bell cow, your 1,000-yard bell cow is out of the lineup. And, yes, those running backs are there for a reason. They're on the roster because you believe they can produce when called upon. I understand that. But do you think that Cam is going to feel any more pressure to either run it himself or even to get the pass game going more because that comfort zone of the 1,000-yard back is not next to him snapping the ball?
Well, there's a couple things. Not just the 1,000-yard back, but also, you know, the great tight end is there. It's banged up.
Greg Olsen has a sore knee.
So you got Olsen's banged up. You got your back that's banged up. Now it's Cam. Now the question is, like you just said, Paul, will Cam want to run the ball more himself? I'd hope not, you know, not because of anything other but selfishly. I'd like to see him play into the playoffs. Running the ball a lot this time of year, he's getting up slower and slower from every hit. That just wouldn't be great for him.
Unwise.
No, it just wouldn't be wise. So these guys, they have to step up. You know, I'm hoping that the Giants can beat him and everything, but these guys need to step up for him.
Just to give you a little idea of what Cam has run for, 111 carries for nearly 500 yards. And by the way, he's tied for sixth in the NFL with 7 rushing touchdowns. So that's where you really want to watch for him running. I mean, he'll run at any point on the field. But when they get down inside the 10, inside the 5, you know, they got that read option thing going. And he is strong enough to power his way into the end zone.
I think we were just talking about earlier. He's like third all right now in his career in the last 5 years. I think he has like 40 touchdowns. I think Adrian Peterson has 43. Marshawn Lynch has 40.
That's sick. You know that?
Like 51. So
that is sick.
He's third on scoring rushing touchdowns. Right? So I don't expect him not to run it, but I don't want to see him run it a lot.
All right, let's see here. What do we have here on Giants chat? I should go back to that. I'm a little bit confused with my Twitter pages here. I got mine up instead of the Giants chat page, which is a bad idea by me. Let's see here. No, nothing new. Nothing new. So we go back to the calls at 201-939-4513. And, Kevin, you are first on the show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about a few things about this. I'm really looking forward to this game. Sunday, I'm going to be in attendance, so, you know, it's really fun.
Great.
Good.
But you know, like you guys mentioned, no Jonathan Stewart. So, you know, that's a big plus for the Giants, obviously, that they don't have the top rusher. And if we're going to lose Sunday, we're going to lose by Cam Newton through the air. And, you know, I like our chances of stopping Newton through the air. You know, I've seen a lot of Panthers games this year, and Newton, when the running game's not going and he has to throw the ball, he is prone to mistakes. But now he does throw some balls high, so we are going to have some, you know, chances for some tip balls and bad balls to get some interceptions. And now, that being said, we have to be disciplined against Stewart. Like you guys said, obviously, with the read option and his ability to run the ball. You know, we have to make tackles and stop Newton, and I like our chances to stop in that offense. Now, as far as our offense goes, we have to run the ball like we did against Miami on Monday. You know, when we ran the ball, we got the play action going, got some deep passes. You know, it made Eli Manning comfortable. You know, he was on fire the whole night. And the Panthers are great at stopping the run, as you guys know. But I think if we keep going at it, and, you know, if we get one big or two runs, and, you know, that'll open up the playbook. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing this Josh Norman and Odell matchup. I think it's going to be, you know, the best against the best. And like against Miami on Monday, somebody else has to get open for Manny. And, you know, if we can protect Eli, run the ball, score some points, you know, I really like our chances to win this game on Sunday. And, you know, one more thing. The Giants, whenever they're playing against the best teams, like against the Patriots, when the Giants are underdogs and you don't expect them to win, that's when they play their best. We've seen it over the years. And, I'm expecting them to have a good game Sunday. And, you know, I think we'll win this game. It'll be a tight game, but I think we'll pull it out.
All right. Thank you so much, Kevin. Let me address two of your points, and then I'd like maybe Howard wants to address one of the other ones. In terms of what you just said about the Giants playing against the best teams, Tom Coughlin was asked about that today. And the question was, how much pride do you take in usually playing these types of opponents, the undefeated opponents, the number one ranked opponents, and you play them extremely well usually during the course of your coaching career? And Tom said he took a lot of pride in that for sure. But he said, here's what happens. You're preparing your team to go against the best. You're telling them right out, you're playing against the best. You better be at your best if you're going to play with these guys. Okay. And Tom says also, you also have to understand, this game is hugely important for us. So don't just pin it on, you know, we got to play the undefeated Panthers. That can't be the motivation. The motivation has to be the Giants need to win this game.
Yeah.
So Tom was being very logical and pragmatic about it. As far as one other comment I wanted to address, Cam Newton, 28th in the NFL in completion percentage this year at only about 50-odd%.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you make the comment that he has been erratic at times, over his career he has had periods of erratic passing. So you are right in that the Giants, which has had a lot of success in picking off passes this year, they'll probably get some chances to get their hands on some footballs. They got to make sure they hold on to them.
Well, the biggest thing is going to be able to stop the run, the read option. I think that's going to be the number one. We saw what Tannehill this past week. The read option looked really well against the Giants.
You'd rather have him throw it than run.
You'd rather have him throw it than run it. So, number one, stop him from running the ball and stop the running game altogether. Force it into a passing situation where his numbers aren't the highest, but at the same time, you got to cover the guys over the middle. So there's a lot of ifs and uhs and buts and everything, but for the Giants themselves, you got to first stop the run, which stops Cam Newton included, and then cover the plays in the middle of the field.
The one other point I think he was addressing with the Giants passing game, I want to add something to that and then get your take. Cortland Finnegan is now their new nickel corner. He retired in March. He's been around the game for a while. He's over 30. He has slowed down. He's been on a couple of teams the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Retired in March. Was brought out of retirement by the Panthers just a couple of weeks ago. He's played in two games. Limited action. Because their regular nickel corner, I'm forgetting his name offhand, broke his leg, Finnegan is now their nickel corner. Look, this is a good Panthers defense. They got a lot of talented and experienced players, including the experience that Finnegan has. But if I'm Eli Manning, I like whoever's matched up against Finnegan. And if you can get Beckham somehow away from Norman and match him up from Finnegan, you got to throw the ball there. And Dwayne Harris, by the way, you're the guy who's mostly in the slot, usually, with this Giants offense. You got to make your hay every time you can against Cortland Finnegan. Make Eli want to throw that ball to you because that's a matchup you think you can win.
Well, that's all great and everything. You do remember that they have a defensive line, right?
Who gets to the quarterback? Third in the NFL in sacks with 40.
They get to the quarterback a lot. So, that, you know, Finnegan's covered by those four guys up front. I think that, you know, I think everybody's excited about that. Hey, how's Eli going to take advantage of? Take advantage of what's there. Don't really worry about that because they're going to be shading to him, having people there, and they're going to be bringing pressure. If they bring pressure from that side, you got to throw the other way and everything. It's not as clear-cut as just go after that guy.
You know the scary part? Howard's right about their pressure because they get a lot of heat.
Yes.
How about this? They only blitz 26% of the time.
They don't have to blitz.
They don't.
Yeah, they got enough people to
they're
come.
They're pretty good up front.
Yeah. So let it easy with that. Oh, well, Finnegan's going to be near. You look for where the mic is and know who's coming.
There you go. 201-939-4513. AJ in South Carolina, you're next. Hello.
The Giants. I like what I saw for Rashad Jennings the last game. They need the Carolina tough one defense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll give Rashad Jennings 20-plus carries.
Well, AJ, you make a good point, and we thank you for calling, and I will address this with Howard. Last week, Rashad Jennings set team season highs for a running back with 22 carries for 81 yards. Mm-hmm. Up to that point, the most carries a Giants running back had gotten in any individual game was Andre Williams with 14. This is a case where Jennings was getting it done. He was running hard, mm-hmm. and they kept giving him the ball.
Yes, they did. Did the Giants have 100 yards collectively from backs?
A little bit less.
A little bit less, right?
Still in the 90s.
So still in the 90s. We got pretty pedestrian numbers from the running game. Yes, I like the dedication to the running game. Yes, I'm excited that we got a little more push than we usually do. But let's put it in perspective. We got less than 100 yards against the worst run defense in the NFL. We're about to play against Luke Kuechly and those front four.
Yeah.
So let's not
They're good.
Fool ourselves into thinking we're going to get almost 100 yards again against that defense. Those guys fly around. Ron Rivera has them on point. Be prepared for that. Understand what you got. Study your game plan. Look for some holes. If you run it early, if you get any success at all, people start getting out of position. But chances are, you got to understand, they're going to be making plays. Somebody's going to get to Kuechly every play to get a hat on him. That's hard to do.
It would be great if the Giants could run because the Panthers are number one in the NFL with 21 interceptions. Mm-hmm. They're really good at taking the ball away.
Yes, they are.
Outstanding plus 18 turnover ratio. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing about the Giants in terms of running the ball, last week, just to talk about for a second, Tom Coughlin's been preaching for balance, balance, balance. He finally got it. 32 runs, 31 passes last week.
Yeah.
I think he'd love to have that Sunday. It's going to be a lot easier said than done, as you have described. But I could be wrong, Howard. I don't think they want Eli throwing it 45 to 50 times against this Panthers D.
Well, no one wants him to throw the ball that many times, but you got to, be realistic in what you're thinking.
You may have to.
Yeah, understand what you have in front of you. Luke, that kid makes so many plays. That kid seems like he's all over the field. He's reading linemen. The guard pulls. He's running behind the guard. He makes play in the backfield. If you line guys up to double team to come off, before the double team guy can get off the double team, he's beside him.
Yeah.
So he understands, diagnoses plays so quickly, you got to be prepared for that. So you got to hope that when you fake the handoff, he steps up and you dump it right behind him.
All right, Howard. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Our phone number, 201-939-4513.
And thanks again, AJ, by the way.
Yes, sir. It's a good phone call. Mm-hmm. Abdul in Minneapolis, you're next on the show.
Hey, guys, I have three things to bring up. First thing, Polly, I thought about you last week when the Giants ran a 3rd and 2 with the fullback, and they got it, and they just this old school power football. I just saw the big smile on your face. I just thought about you when that happened.
Well, you know when that was? That was on the last drive. The Giants milked the final 4.5 minutes off the clock, and their first third down of that drive, they had two conversions. One was a pass to Beckham, which was later on in the drive that actually closed out the game. On a 3rd and 3, he caught a 4-yard pass, cradling his fingers underneath the ball as it came down to the ground. But the one you're talking about was a 3rd and 2 with Rashad Jennings run, where he was just able to, boom, he got his 3 yards, moved the sticks, and I believe...
A great block by Whitlock.
No question. And I believe that was the most unsung play of the game. We talk about Beckham's 2 touchdowns, which were incredible, incredible plays. I get it. But given the fact that this team's been unable to close people out, that third down conversion at the beginning of that drive was huge.
It was big. It was monumental for them. And you had 2 more points?
Yeah. Second point is, how do we slow down the read option? I know that's been the bane of our defense for years, it seems like. And I know that's a big part of the Panthers' offense. Like, what do we do? Because it seems like every time we face a read option team, JPP gets sucked in. And then they just go around them, or whoever defensive end is in there, they just repeatedly get sucked in. For some reason, we just don't know. Like, but what is the proper technique, and what can the Giants do to slow that down?
Okay, Howard.
It's easy to slow down the read option. It all depends if teams are willing to do it, and what will the officials say. Every time the quarterback fakes and comes out, whether he has the ball or not, hit him. Just go up and hit him. If he looks like if he carries out the fake, he's a live player. They can't say anything about it. They can't do anything about it. You can stop every read option in every offense by hitting the quarterback every time. The back might get 10 yards. The back might get 5 yards. The back might get whatever. But if you hit the quarterback, that eliminates the read option because he doesn't want to, like, do the fake anymore. He's just going to stop. And then you can go start tackling the back.
Hit the back.
Then you can start hitting the back. But if you don't hit the quarterback at any point, or if you're looking to – stop the back from getting a yard or stop the back from getting 2 yards, then the quarterback will watch you dive in and flow with the ball going to the outside. But if you hit him early and hit him often, like every time that he – if it looks like they ran the read option, if they don't even run it and he fakes and goes out the other end, hit him. Send somebody up to hit him. It stops it every time. But people are not willing to do that.
Abdul, I want to back up, Howard, because after RG3 and Russell Wilson started doing this stuff, we have a referee seminar before the start of the season with the broadcasters and the writers in training camp. And we are allowed to quiz them on different rules changes and different interpretations about the game.
Yep.
And I, when RG3 was doing all this stuff, I raised my hand and I said to the officials, I said, listen, this read option thing that's now becoming the big catch fire of all offenses, or at least a lot of people are trying to make it the new thing. I said, look, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm sicking a defensive player on that quarterback every time he runs it, and I'm going to do exactly what Howard said. I am going to pound the living heck out of him. Literally, like LT used to say, you know, snot bubbles coming out.
Yep.
I'm going to crush him every play. Now, I want to know, you as an official, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to give me this protecting the quarterback thing? Are you going to start throwing flags on me? Because I think that's the best way for me to kill that snake. And the officials were very perplexed by the question at first. They were taken back. And they said, well, you know what? If he's out of the pocket, he's actually fair game out there.
Yes,
and I said, well, then there's no reason for me not to do it. I'm going to pound him every single time.
If he fakes, if he dips, if he puts his hands into his – into his belly, and he starts. If he starts in your direction, get to hit him.
Now the key is your timing's got to be good, because the official said to me the one thing they will be quicker to throw it on is if you hit him too late, they may start thinking about him in unnecessary roughness.
They can make jokes about it. They can try to change the rules. If you're faking and someone comes up and hits you,
I would be furious if they called the flag.
You don't have to, like, knock him down. You just come up and hit him. Hit him hard. Hit him, wrap him up.
Well, that you
can
do.
Wrap him up.
That you can do. I don't think that, even if it's late, wrap him up. I don't think there's any way they're going to hesitate.
He will stop doing it.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm just fortifying his point.
Last one.
my last point, I haven't heard much about this. How good is the Panthers' offensive line? I heard about the defense and their and the quarterback. How good is their offensive line? Like, do we have a chance to get some penetration or to get some edge rushing on them?
Well, think of this. They're based on – their whole offense is based on a run. Between Cam Newton and Stewart, they've been doing a great job moving the ball down the field. So the great offensive line, they have an easier job because players are basically they take a half a count to make sure and see who has the ball. So and it slows the process down for the defensive guys because now they just can't pin their ears back and go through the gap and then try to figure it out. No, they got to like take their time to see the exchange of the ball to make sure that they're not going crazy. You just ask, how do you stop the read option? Well, most defenses start to try to, like, bleed the guys out. Hey, watch the quarterback. If you start doing that, that slows your defense down. You got one or two guys not doing – not really going full speed because they got to pay attention to make sure no one shoots out the edge or off the side. So that's why their offensive line is having a great time. If there's a guy that's in the middle that disrupts the process, that's when they have a hard time. So, like, you know, having a guy that can get some penetration – up the field, that's the issue that the read option really has.
I can give you two numbers. Newton's been sacked 24 times, 10th fewest in the league, but of course he runs a lot and he's mobile.
Dropping back.
No, he's not.
If he's dropping back every time, he gets sacked more. If he's not dropping back a lot,
Style of what he plays reduces that number.
The offense is different.
Second number I want to give you, which is kind of in contrast to that, he's been hit 48 times, which is tied for the third most, believe it or not, which is really a little bit of an incongruence there. Sack number's down, but the hit number's up.
Yeah, but you can hit him a lot, but you can't get him down.
But that's the thing. That's the problem. Okay, even though there's a lot of hits on him, he doesn't hit the ground.
Yeah, you can hit him, he can still scramble. So, and get you know,
Abdul, thank you.
Get 1 or 2 yards across the line.
Howard, congratulations on Henry. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, baby. Roll Tide.
Oh, I knew we were going to get one of those.
Somebody said it, man. Henry for the Heisman.
I knew it was going to happen.
Won
the Heisman. We couldn't get through 60 minutes without it.
Hey, man, he won the Heisman. Kid looks good.
All right. Let's just see quickly if there's anything on the internet. Oh, we do have to get a bunch of Twitters up here.
Hopefully he's a big back in the NFL.
Okay. Beat Cam Newton says, when it comes to the Panthers, it's not their offense I'm worried about. It's their defense.
Well, unfortunately, their defense gets better every time that Cam Newton has a long drive down the field and then they score. Then you are pressed to try to do something to match that. You know, Cam Newton has thrown for 4 or 5 touchdowns in the last 2 or 3 games, too. That's not helping people. So, again, it's everything. Their team's playing well. Even their special teams is playing well. They have everything working right now.
Big Eagle Media says, how do you guys feel about Landon Collins? This guy is insinuating that he's been disappointing. You know what? A couple of times I know he wish he held on to the ball when it came to him. But other than that, you know, he's had what a rookie season is usually like in the NFL. There's going to be some mistakes.
I think when you take guys back, and there's no excuse for the way he's playing, when you take a kid out and you put him back and he's supposed to be the quote-unquote leader of the secondary, because that's kind of what they put him in when he came out.
Tough spot.
It's a tough spot because you got to learn protections and coverages and everything on your own. You got to be above a head and shoulders above everybody else. It's just this what it is. He has been disappointing. I expected more from him personally, but it's not because of anything other than I hope that he would be that guy down in the box, being the player. When they rolled him back to be the deep guy too, I'm like, okay, let's see how he does. So it's just, you know, it's who you're playing with at the time. So he has to learn a lot of stuff. He actually was rotated in and out of the game in his last game.
With Taylor and Dahl. There were three safeties going.
Trying to find a combination.
Philip Mano says, it can't hurt to have experience of two giant Super Bowl champions in Knicks and Cofield back for the stretch drive. Mm-hmm. Well, it would be better if both of them were playing a ton. Knicks only sees limited action, and Cofield, I'm sure, isn't going to see a whole game's worth. Well, but I understand your point.
Well, it's great for the fans, that their names that they can remember. It'd be great if they were 90% of the person they were in the last Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's what you're really looking for.
Yeah, you can't be the same player forever.
No,
that's for sure.
Can you look at, we aren't the same people, so.
All right, let's see here. Ben Gruen says key matchup isn't Odell versus Norman. It's Giants O-line versus Panthers front seven. Don't let their linebackers ruin the game.
Yeah, good luck with that.
We didn't mention Thomas Howard, did we?
No,
he's pretty
didn't.
Good.
You know, the Giants are facing what everybody else has been facing, great defense. These guys are good. All three levels are good.
Yeah, they sure are, for sure. Although Freddie says they are acting like the Panthers' defense are the 85 Bears.
Okay, you guys can say and make any comments you want. I'm telling you, the defense is good. You don't see teams running scores up or scoring a lot of touchdowns. These guys cover the run pretty well, and they got a lot of turnovers. When guys take the ball away, when defenses take the ball away, whatever other stats they have, they all are, you know, they all elevate because the ball's coming out. You look better when the ball's coming out. When you take the ball away a lot, the run stats get better. You know why? Because if you're taking the ball away, that means you're falling behind. When you start falling behind, guess what happens? You got to throw the ball, which means your run stats go down. All these things kind of work together.
All right. Fans, don't forget the Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. One more Twitter comment before the phone calls resume. Easy says, Buffalo runs a read option type offense, and we were able to stop that. That is what Spags focused on in camp.
Yeah, kind of. That's great. Buffalo doesn't have Cam Newton running the read option.
No.
Buffalo's offensive line isn't the same. Buffalo wasn't playing with a lead most times like these guys are playing. And, by the way, Buffalo's defense, almost as good as Carolina's defense. Problem is Rex Ryan is the one calling the defense. So you get a little bit of different personality, scheme. That things change. The Ron Rivera run defense, it's a good defense. They're pretty solid. They take on his personality, an old Bears guy from back in the 85 Bears. Mm-hmm. So you may not think they're the 85 Bears, but you got one of the 85 Bears kind of working with it.
In fact, you'll remember Ron Rivera was on the hot seat when the Giants went to Carolina just a couple years back.
Yeah.
Everybody thought he was about to be fired if they lost that game. They came out and blitzed the living heck out of the Giants and destroyed them. And that was the turning point in that franchise.
And in his career. So that's the way it works.
Scott from Virginia, you're next on the show. Hello.
Good afternoon, guys. Yep. My questions are centered around the Bleacher Reporter rookie rankings. Just curious your feedback on this. There's only two Giants in the top 50. Landon Collins is 37. Will Tye is 49. Tye is a real find. Eric Flowers not in the top 50. There's no offensive tackles in the top 50. Flowers is rated the second best offensive tackle rookie behind Haverstein. You know, maybe we jumped the gun a little bit. Got a little bit too excited with Flowers. You know, there's a lot to like about him, but, you know, maybe we're a little bit ahead on that. Maybe we're a little bit too down on Collins. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, a lot of linebackers in the top 15, including some fourth and fifth round picks. Maybe we missed the boat there.
Let me tell you about Bleacher Report. A lot of guys who don't play ball who use metrics to decide mm-hmm. who's good, who's not. I love metrics. I think the numbers are all cool, and it's great for fantasy sports. But watching this game, that's kind of where you have to play and how you make your decisions. Flowers is a good player. Kid's dominant, playing great, even playing on a bad ankle, something that their metrics won't ever measure.
Never.
Good player. A leader, can't measure that. To put Collins up that high at safety, there's probably not a lot of safeties that are making plays then. So it's just don't get so involved in the Bleacher Report guys. Those are guys that are sitting back. They set up a system where they can grade players, and they try to force that onto the public so that you can decide, hey, who's doing good, who's not doing good, which is okay. I don't mind it because, again, I watch it every week. It's kind of like, I'll give you a great example. LeBron James shook a little fan's hand that had some special needs, and now people are like, did he do it for promotional? Did he do it for this? So you have people who are putting things together for you to listen to and to – you know, draw an opinion from, because that's their job to do that. It's cool, though. I like it. But I don't go on those reports.
Let me just follow up with this. I appreciate it. That's good insight. if you're sold on Flowers at left tackle, would you agree then that the best thing for the Giants to do with Will Beatty is trade him because he has more value to another team as a left tackle than he does to us as a backup or a right tackle, and cutting him isn't going to work because it's going to be $6 million in dead cap space? Wouldn't it be best to trade Beatty, get what you can for him, and let Flowers just stay in the left tackle position?
I'll tell you this. I'm not cutting or trading anybody. Will Beatty has to first get healthy.
Get that surgery.
Yeah. If he gets healthy and can show up, then you'll have a discussion to have. Until then, it's not really a discussion. I think Flowers, this offseason, he's going to have to get stronger, get those ankles stronger because that's what he's been working on. He'll have a full offseason to work and be prepared to play left tackle because he didn't come here to play left tackle.
Not originally.
Yep. So those are all good problems to have. To have two left tackles that can play the game, that's a good problem to have. One guy will have to move. If both guys are healthy, one guy will have to move. But if you don't have any left tackles, that's also a problem. So think about this. The Giants used to draft defensive ends all the time.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, oh, another defensive end. Why do they keep drafting defensive ends? And guys were saying, hey, they can't have enough pass rushers. Now we have one guy, who's wearing a club that everybody's dependent on him to make plays and put pressure on the quarterback, and everybody else is trying to get there. And I do mean trying to get there. And we're complaining about, hey, we're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. Hey, we haven't gotten any sacks. Hey, we haven't done this. So, again, too many good players in a position is a good thing.
I'm going to take that one
Thank
further.
You.
Too many good players, period. It's not a bad thing at all.
It's a great thing.
Is it Scott, or are we to line two now? Or Andrew, are we not?
Andrew.
Line two, Andrew from Stanhope. Hello.
Yes.
Where's Stanhope?
New Jersey.
I have to apologize to Coughlin because he summed it up best. I was criticizing him, with fourth down clock management, and he simply said, hey, there's no right answer. When we run the ball, we fail, and when we pass, we usually don't succeed either way, so there's no right answer.
Yep.
So and he took that hit, so that leads me into my next segment. You guys, I'm glad the older guys are on the show. Howard, you played with Lawrence Taylor, right?
Yep.
And my wife, she didn't know who he was because she was just a youngster in Thailand at the time.
Okay.
I played her some YouTube videos of Taylor. She was loving it, and of course, no one on the defense is as good as him, but you also
no
played
one in
on the
league.
Super Bowl team,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
on
hold
the
on.
90s.
Make sure you say no one in the league is as good as him.
Right, or ever. No
yeah.
one ever is.
Okay. There you go.
As there
good
you go.
As him.
Go ahead.
And including Reggie White or any of the defensive guys.
Oh, different guy.
But
Reggie White was really good.
Yeah, he was a lineman, though. Definitely.
Yep, absolutely.
I think Taylor was the greatest because of his speed.
Yep.
He had the strength. And I think he was crazy, too. Like, when I would see Banks, he was great, too. But he's normal, where Taylor was like a mad dog,
yep.
like you said. So on the 1990 Super Bowl, I watched on ESPN, the Buffalo Bills, the story how they lost the first Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And Belichick was having the Giants' defense hit the receivers, punish them. So that's what they need to do, like you guys were talking about earlier
anymore.
With the quarterback.
You can't really do that anymore. They call that
right.
a defenseless player problem.
Right. I mean, really drive him, and see his helmet hit the turf because he's having a lot of fun, Cam Newton. So
can't do that either. Can't make somebody hit
right.
the turf.
It's all good,
but the idea of hitting Cam Newton when he does the fake is just to carry through with the actual play. This actually happened. If he fakes like he's running, you come up and hit him. It's not a knockout, but it's a play to reminds him if you run, we're going to tackle you.
Right. It's not the same as when you played, especially early in your career,
mm-hmm.
rules. But finally, Rashad Jennings, awesome game, and he's played like you, physical and tough, like Lawrence Taylor. But at the end of the day, I don't think he's good enough to be the first back. And when you went to the Super Bowl, Otis Anderson really wasn't the primary back. Rodney Hampton was. And the rookie year, he was just phenomenally good. So I think Rashad is good, but he needs to be a second or third back. Like Derek Ward was on the Super Bowl team, he was the number three back. So I really think they need to make the move and use Darqua and Vereen more and then let Jennings come in and spell them. But your thoughts on that? And they need to, within the rules, play defense like mad dogs.
All right, Andrew. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. As far as the mad dog comment, those days are gone. So I know you, like I said, when I said about Cam Newton, you hit him, and you do hit him, but you hit him within the guidelines of the play. You can't do anything extracurricular. You can't do anything crazy. And like I said, even if you're not hitting him, you're wrapping him up on some plays just so he knows you're there and you're awake. As far as the running back thing goes, running backs are as good as their offensive lines or as good as the scheme. Some schemes work better. Some offensive lines help guys more. I keep going back to Murray and McCoy. I keep telling people that everything's not what you think it is. Just because you're good at it somewhere else and you show up on another team, you may not be good. Trent Richardson, the Alabama running back, the big beast of a guy, tremendous player in college, gets to the pros, can't find a hole, can't understand the blocking scheme, never really takes off and plays. Been cut twice or three times.
I have never asked you this, but I'm going to do it now, in spite of the fact that we've got how many millions of people around the world watching us.
Okay.
Super Bowl 25, Otis Anderson rumbles for 100 yards.
Okay.
He was an absolute beast in that game, and the Giants put the ball in his hands, and Bill Parcells told them, "Old man, we're going to run you to death in this one, and I'm going to need you to do it."
Okay.
What if Rodney Hampton had not broken his foot, and Rodney Hampton was the running back that the Giants had to rely on in that game? He was more of a Jukes and a Quicks guy at that time. He was not a power force like Otis was. Do you think the Giants' game plan would have been the same? And if so, would Hampton have been able to execute it as well as Otis did, who, by the way, was the game's MVP?
You can ask Otis. If Rodney Hampton had been 100% in that game.
He was on crutches, as you know, getting broken foot.
If he had been 100% in that game, Buffalo wouldn't have had a chance.
Okay, because what would have been the game plan?
Rodney was that dynamic of a runner. He was powerful.
Quicks, cuts, everything. Yeah, jukes. He was really something.
But he was powerful.
Okay.
And people kind of overlook his power because later in his career, when the knees started to go, they're like, "Oh, now he's powerful." No offense. You're powerful early. When your knees go, that's when you start to try to figure out other things to do. He was powerful. I mean, jukes, cuts, speed. But when he hit the hole, he would blow things up. And, yes, with that three tight end package, the power package, the load package, he would have gotten. Imagine when OJ comes and delivers that big uppercut to Kelso, and that's a big moment in the game. Imagine a stiff arm and flying down the field.
Rodney had a heck of a stiff arm.
And gone.
I'm talking about out the gate. Yeah.
And no offense to Buffalo, great team, but if Rodney Hampton's playing and he's healthy. He took a draw like 80 yards one time.
Handed it off to him.
We're like, "Did you see that?" That's all we all said. So people don't understand. Without injury, Rodney Hampton would have been up there as one of the great backs of all time. That's how good he was.
And by the way, I was talking to Otis the other night. As a matter of fact, there was an event here at the facility, and Otis often talks about the fact that he had his practice pads. Howard knows that story. Practice pads, which were worn out, beaten up, weren't worth really much for crap. But because he had to wind up going into the game when Roddy was hurt in the playoff game down the stretch, and he didn't think he was going to play. He had his practice pads on underneath. Parcells needs him now because Hampton breaks his foot.
Yep.
And Parcells tells him, "Hey, you're wearing those practice pads the rest of the postseason." And he had to do it.
He wore them the whole rest of the year. Very funny. Very funny.
Victor from Texas, you're next. Hello.
Hey, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call.
No problem.
Sorry, I'm a little under the weather right now, so bear with me.
Okay.
Everybody knows the matchups that are out there that they want to see. And Norman and Odell Beckham Jr., D-line, Giants O-line, and basically who's going to step up for the Giants. I'm more interested, guys, in the in the matchups and the game within the game. For example, I want to see if our offensive linemen can, you know, get to those linebackers. If you watch those linebackers, they're always clean to get to the ball because their front four is so formidable. Can we get to Luke Kuechly and those linebackers? Can Eli Manning actually out-duel Luke Kuechly in the audible category? Because if you watch these games, these guys are so good at what they do. And, you know, third down for us. I mean, can the Giants get off the field on third down? We do very well on first and second down most of the time, but we can't seem to get to third down in tens. What is Spags going to do with that? Are we going to jam their tight end? I mean, I haven't seen that guy get jammed yet. I mean, can we jam Olsen from getting off the line? And also, you know, are we going to institute, you know, Eli, the pocket movements of misdirection, to slow these linebackers down? Because the key to this game is not basically stopping Cam, but it's our offense being able to score on their defense. Put these linebackers in positions to where they're not, you know, they're not effective. Slow them down. Maybe a misdirection play or maybe something to get them out of position. And, of course, we want to see who else on offense is going to take over. Are we going to use Shane Vereen a little bit more? I'd like to see him. And also Darkwa. This game within a game is going to be the key to the Giants' win. And obviously our red zone. We're in the red zone. We can't take field goals going against a 13-0 team. We got to actually score some touchdowns. I'd like to see us use all of our weapons out there. So if you can leave me on and let me know, you know, what do you think? I'll definitely appreciate it because I think there's a game within a game here.
There's a lot there. I'm going to see if Howard can try to thumbnail an answer for you.
I think the game within the game will be the play of Will Tye as a receiver. I think that a lot of teams have been looking at him differently. He started out, he was kind of like 50-50, dropped some balls, wasn't sure of himself just getting started. Now, all of a sudden, he's catching balls. So that's going to give the linebackers a little pause. They can't just come flying up the field every time because they look – if that kid looks like he's going out, someone's got to, you know, be there with him. That's one. Number two, the other thing is going to be really interesting is, you know, can or will, you know, Randall have another week? Can he tie 2 weeks together? If Randall's having a day, if Ty's having a day, all of a sudden, you know, Odell Beckham's not really an issue for them to cover because they got to cover the other two guys. I think Vereen kind of works in the offense. I don't think he can be the power of the offense. I think when you're in the 11 personnel, he's great. I think when you're in passing situations, he's great. If it's third and one, if you're throwing the ball, he's going to be great. But if you're going to try to, like, fake and hand him the draw, those guys are going to be all over him. I mean, it's going to be sure. Tough. It's going to be just a tough play for him. He'll tell you that himself. I think Darkwa or, you know, Jennings, whoever is running the ball, they run best. And I do mean they do run best with Whitlock at fullback. Because that first guy is getting nudged, bumped, or hit because Whitlock's taking him off, whether he's free in the backfield or not. If Whitlock bumps him, that gives the back another step to get into the line. He can push up for 2 or 3 yards. If Whitlock actually gets him at the line of scrimmage or further back, he may break it for 10 yards or 20 yards.
Victor, thanks for the call. I also think it's time that people start talking about the fact that the Giants really do have two game changers on the field, not just Odell Beckham. It's time people start talking about Dwayne Harris because he can change a game on special teams.
Yep.
He has shown such explosiveness that he can change the momentum, he can change field position dramatically, and he can even put points on the board himself.
I agree, but he has to be able, you know, those plays are so random. I mean,
he's doing them with a little more frequency, though, this year.
He's doing it pretty good, but they're so random. I mean, he has two touchdowns, right? And he's had a couple really good returns. But as the season goes on, you need more of those plays every time you step up. Every time they punt the ball, they're going to be nervous. That if he gets the ball, it could be a touchdown. Every time they kick off, they got to hope it goes deep into the end zone because it's going to come back to the 30 or the 40. Those are the things that what guys freak out about. You know, if we cover and do our job and stay in our lanes, they're not worried. If you're going to do something where, oh, my God, if he touches it, we're in trouble, That's when teams start to worry.
I'm with Howard in that I don't buy stats at face value. Mm-hmm. I think you have to see things, and there's a lot more to grading a player than just looking at numbers. But I do want to give you these numbers because I think it's where the Giants have a huge edge in this game. If you're looking for matchups that the Giants can win, mm-hmm. the special teams matchup is huge for them.
If they have those two returners back on the punt team, Odell Beckham and Harris.
And I think they will.
That freaks teams out.
And I think they will.
Because now you get your team is split on the coverage. They can't just all hoard to the ball there, because if Odell looks like he's catching it, you got to go to him. If Harris is standing there with his hands down looking over, and then all of a sudden he catches it, you got to go to him. So you can't just – that divides the field up, and that leaves gaps. Those kind of things, that's a problem.
They did that a couple weeks ago, and it was really good. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Punt return coverage, the Panthers are tied for 14th pedestrian, middle of the road in punt return coverage. Kickoff return coverage, they are 28th. In the National Football League in kick return coverage. Dwayne Harris, when you get your hands on the ball, make something happen, because you could be a big reason why the Giants are in this football game.
Well, let me point something out to fans so they'll understand. Those numbers are great, but when you have a really, really good defense, your backups are usually really, really good, and they play special teams. So be aware that they lead the league or are close to the top of the league in turnovers and takeaways. Those guys that are trying to get on the field will be coming down to take the ball away.
And their defense usually bails them out when they have poor field position.
Absolutely.
So I get all of that, which is why maybe Harris taking the ball into the end zone isn't such a bad idea.
Finish off the return. Score a touchdown.
All right. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Is it Jabal on line one in Atlanta? You're next on the show. Hello.
Hey.
How's it going, guys?
Well, how are you
doing today?
Very, very good.
Okay. First off, I want to shout out all my military service members around the world.
Nice. We second that to you. Thank you.
Yeah. And I also have two points to make. I haven't called in all season, but I do want to make two quick points. Point number one, I think Steve Spagnuolo is doing a great job coaching his defense. I know we're not anywhere near the middle or the top as far as rankings go, but for the personnel that we do have and the opponents that we have faced, he's done a great job getting our guys ready and putting them in position to at least give Eli and Odell and our offensive line a chance to do something for us. So I just want to applaud Steve Spagnuolo, because I think what he's doing is going under the radar this season to a lot of fans. And my second point is about Ruben Randle. I don't like to single out a single player, but I feel like if there was any time for Ruben Randle to show up and to show off his draft position, it would be this season with Odell doing what he's doing. I mean, I've played football growing up, and when you have somebody on the opposite side that's superior and that's drawing coverages left and right, that's your time to shine. That's your time to get separation. That's your time to put up numbers, at least 9 touchdowns, between 7 to 9 touchdowns, 800 to 900 yards. I mean, that's just what you should expect from a number two receiver when you have Odell on the opposite side.
Right.
And he hasn't shown much, and I can't speak for the coaching staff, but if I was on the coaching staff, I would definitely think about using a high draft pick next season, maybe a first or a second, to bring in a quality player to play opposite Odell Beckham. I don't know what you guys' thoughts are on that.
Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you, Jabal. I think part of what you have to decide is, first of all, what your salary cap situation is. You have to decide what free agency pickings are available to you. And then you start talking about, well, which guys do we re-sign and for how much? And then you start looking at the draft. There are a lot of variables here that will go into how the Giants will reconstruct their wide receiving core, especially Victor Cruz, for one, who right now – we have no idea exactly what's going to happen with
him. If he's healthy, he'll be a dynamic player as well. I think Ruben Randle, you know, beyond where the Giants are, beyond where, you know, the season goes, whatever, I think Ruben Randle, this is his contract year, right?
Yes, it is.
So we can say whatever we want and hope whatever we want and do whatever we want. He's making his own money right now. So this whole conversation about Where's Ruben Randle? Hopefully he's healthy enough, like I said again, for this week for him to make more plays. But I don't think anybody has more pressure on Ruben Randle than Ruben Randle does. So, and I think if he's intending on playing beyond this year or looking for a new contract, again, has nothing to do with draft position or anything else, I think Ruben is thinking about what do I need to get done and how can I get it done to further my career. I don't think it's, you know, some weeks we have questions, some weeks we talk, we are pundits, we like to, you know, make reactions and overreact to whatever we see. Ruben Randle has all of his, you know, eggs in his own basket. He's the CEO of his own corporation, the Ruben Randle Enterprises, and right now we're hoping that Ruben Randle Enterprises shows up big this weekend.
I agree with that, but let me also add, I think the Giants have found out that Dwayne Harris is certainly a capable receiver. Mm-hmm. Dallas did not use him very much as one. He was more a return guy. Mm-hmm. Didn't get a lot of snaps as a receiver. Some, enough for the Giants to believe that he could do it, and in fact, he's proven it now. He's no longer an unknown commodity. They now know Dwayne Harris can function in the offense.
Okay, so let's
which
let's,
is good.
Let's do Harris really quick. If you brought him in to be your returner, he's been a returner his entire career, and you want to take him and make him a receiver, make him your third receiver probably.
Well, he's been for a lot of the season.
For third receiver. Every time he goes out to catch the ball, his return stuff diminishes.
He's getting hit. Yeah. He's beaten up.
Yeah.
There's
so
no question.
You're going to have to make a decision. Do you want him as a third receiver, or do you want him as a return guy? Where do you need – do you need the field position, or do you need that guy that can – you know, bail Eli out from time
if they
to time.
Want to save his body, there's no reason why he can't be a good number four. They could always move him down one spot and say, okay, you're
the
four.
If you're on the field and you're Dwayne Harris, you know, you have history with the quarterback will find you.
All right. The other thing is Jeremy Davis, rookie this year out of UConn, mm-hmm. who they really liked at training camp and made the roster. He's been, you know, he's raw, so he's on the sidelines. I think that they believe he's a really good developmental project. I think he's going to be a part of this receiving corps next year.
I think that, you know, you have, you know, one, two, three linemen on your offensive line that are really good. And the other two guys have done a decent job, if not an above-average job, this season. I think those are those two other positions on the line, you'll be looking at that. I think that defensive line, whether you want to admit it or not, you're going to be looking for pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fans can say what they want to, and hopefully we get a better receiver, hopefully we get a tight end. You're looking for two linemen, pass rushers, and then you're going to be trying to figure out who goes where and what happens. That's when things will start picking up. I don't think that, you know, you look for the things that you're trying to fix.
All right, Howard, a couple of real quick rapid-fire comments I want to get to on Twitter before we sign off. We have Donald, who says, does Odell Beckham get 5 or 6 catches and a touchdown? Remember, Evans, Hopkins, Cooper, and someone else, I believe it was Jones out of Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
who had only Julio. 6 between them. Obviously against Norman, who's been a real shutdown guy. So that's mm-hmm. a real quick one I want you to comment on. Also, I got to get this one in. P. Mother Pluckin says, love Howard Cross correcting the caller on LT status. I had to get that in.
That's funny. Thank you for that. Will Odell get 5 or 6 catches? I think, yeah, he'll get 5 or 6 catches. The great thing about this kid from Carolina, he's a good tackler. See, people don't realize that. If you catch the ball with him, he usually tackles you, whereas some guys are just good at knocking the ball down, being defensive players. He's a good tackler. So if Odell catches the ball, I don't suspect he'll be laying off of him because he's afraid of his speed. I expect he'll be closer to him. Think Julio Jones, big guy. He stayed close to Julio.
You're right.
Go ahead.
You're
right. That makes a big difference.
Last one, it is a repeat comment, commenter. It is Donald who just wants to know, and I want to get this on you before we leave, do the Giants play a slow-down type of game or keep it up-tempo?
They're going to play up-tempo. They're going to – I mean, this is just opinion. They're going to play that no huddle, try to keep the ball moving, trying to keep, you know, the substitutions down, making the guys that are on the field for Carolina be the guys on the field. They don't want the guys to rotate in and out. They don't want the situational player. They want to keep guys on the field and create mismatches.
He is Howard Cross. I am Paul Dottino. That'll do it for this edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, we are here rotating hosts every Monday to Friday from 12 noon Eastern Time until 1 o'clock. Jot down the number so you can call next time we're on the air at 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And remember, Sunday at 1 o'clock here at MetLife Stadium, it's the Giants and the 13-0 Carolina Panthers. We'll see you again next time.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.